Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? I'll read starting at verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. We started there because we're teaching now on the supernatural church. Okay, we started in this. This is a particular series is entitled The Supernatural Church, and it's part 39. If you're keeping track, part 39. Now, I expect you, if you're taking notes, I expect you to do something with these notes after you get home. This is just not a note-taking session. You got to do something with this. And this particular subtitle is called Supernatural Rest. Supernatural Rest. All right, we're going to go through this here and just see what we can learn from God. Let's go to the next scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4. If you never read and studied the book of Hebrews, you might want to do that. It's a very profound book. Starting at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us as entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. All right, let's just stop right there. That he said that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It didn't say the word wasn't preached. It says what was preached didn't profit. And it says why? Because they didn't mix it. They didn't mix it. And when I preach something like today, for the most part, I'm giving you the benefit of research that I've done and study that I've done. And you just come in here on Sunday morning and you get it. Amen. But that's what I'm saying about your notes. You have to do something with it. You have to mix it. Because you heard it with your head. But now we got to get it into your heart. And what it does is that inside of us are, if you could say the word, trees. Trees. There's something inside of us. The Bible talks about over in Matthew's Gospel, and Matthew's Gospel chapter, let me give you the scripture. Matthew's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 13. But Jesus answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. So inside of us are plants. Plants, just like you see the Garden of Eden. It's not outside anymore, it's inside. And now, with it being in there, there are plants in there. And every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. So there are plants that are inside of people. Now, when I say plants, I mean images, belief systems. And they're inside of people, and they cannot go any further than that belief system, because the belief system really, whatever you believe is what you become. And so that belief system really sets up a boundary for how far you go. And that's why it says over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he said, guard your heart, because out of that heart are the issues or forces or boundaries of your life. That Hebrew word for boundary. So it's the forces or boundaries of your life. They're in your heart. And people say, well, he's my problem. He's not your problem. Your problem is you. It's inside of there. You can't go any further than that. It just so happened that the image in you drew him. See? And because you're designed that way. You're designed to be drawn to what you believe. And so inside here, he is saying, they didn't mix it. So as I give you the word, I give it to you in seed form. Well, you take that word. Now you got to mix it. You got to take it home and you got to talk about it, think about it, ponder about it, meditate on it, so forth. Why? Because it's dropping now from your head down to your what? Down to your heart. And notice what it's going to do. It's going to root up the first tree. And that's the tree that the world planted. And the world planted that tree because they didn't want you to go any further. So the fence is not outside. The fence is inside. Every one of us has fences. And you got to get beyond it. And that's belief systems. Some people believe other races are not as good as them. Some people believe that other people are not as smart as them because they didn't go to the same school. Other beliefs, so forth and so on. It's a lot of stuff out there. But every tree in you that the Father has not planted shall be rooted up. And you're going to start thinking just like God. God is no respecter of persons. Glory to God. Do you know a baby can teach you something? Really? I saw God one time in the scriptures speak through a donkey. Now, when a donkey starts speaking to you, you're really in trouble. Okay, now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4 again. Are y'all with me? So you got to get it all out, because you get it, don't get it all out, it'll block you. Now, God wants you to be this. He wants you to be that, so forth. And the enemy's job is to keep control of us and keep us down, make it so that we don't go but so far and so forth like that. And you got to get all of that out, because it's not of God. And that's why I have all y'all come here, so you can see each other and see each other. This man was talking about one time he mixed the wrong thing. But what he talked about is you know, he knew that he was going to die at a certain age. Because his grandfather died, his father died, and he started saying he's going to die. He went over to this lady's house with this other pastor. The pastor was there, and he started talking about it. And this lady, who was a prayer warrior, heard it. Said, well, you know, he said he's going to, you know, dad dies of heart attack, granddad died of heart attack, you know, and all of them died at 68, whatever it was. He said, I guess I'm on my way too. Well, she heard that. And so she came in the front room where they were. She said, now tell me that again now. He said, well, she said, well, my granddad died and so forth, and my father died. She said, well, tell me the truth on that thing. He said, well, okay, my granddaddy died at a certain age and my father died at a certain age. She said, no, tell me the truth. He said, well, I'm telling to you, my granddad died at such and such. She jumped right in his collar and shook his head. Tell me the truth. Well, the truth is in the Bible. With long life, I will satisfy you. And let me tell you, if you believe that, you will receive that. It will happen to you, and it wasn't God's plan to happen to you, but it happened to you because the fence was on the inside, and it was dictating how far you're going to go in life. And I'm telling you right now, God has made you a genius. And God, don't say I'm getting old, and you know my mind ain't what it used to be. That's why it ain't what it used to be. Because you are saying it, sowing it, and having it. We've had so many people come into our foundation class, you know, who are coming to be members here, and the first thing they say, especially if they're in the older group, well, you know, my mind ain't what it used to be. We try to get them, encourage them, don't say that. You're cursing yourself when you say that. Don't say what the Bible says. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Isn't this wonderful? So when I tell you something, I'm going to show you some new things. When I show you these new things, don't fight me on it. If I read it out of the Bible, you don't get mad at me while he's saying that. It's in the Bible. I'm reading it out of the Bible. Take it and mix it, because there's a tree in you that's trying to dictate to you how far you're going to go with God, and God has bigger plans for you. Say amen to this. This is good stuff, folks. All right. Let's keep going. Let's start reading Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. Glory to God. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest on the what? Seventh day from all his what? Works. Next verse. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter into that therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. Verse 9, please, all the way down. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own what? Works, as God did from his. Next verse. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Glory to God. Now, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Now, he was referring now all the way back to Genesis, and Genesis and chapter 2. Let's go back there in verse 1 again. Now this kind of, you got to hold on to your seat, because this is a paradigm shifter. Look what he says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. This is God finishing the heavens and earth. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on what day? Seventh day. From all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Now, did he rest because he was tired?
No.
Why did he rest? All right. Now, this is key. God made everything in 6 days. And in the end of 6 day, he made a man. Now, here's man, and he's the highest creation. So everything is to serve the man. The man's not to serve anything. Everything is made to serve the man. God made the seventh day, so now man is going to step over into the seventh day, because the seventh day, all the work was done. And he rested on the what day? Seventh day. Now, if you will, glory to God, look, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Believeth thou, this is Jesus talking, that I'm in the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the what? Works. Now this is Jesus now. Who does the work in Jesus' ministry? Who does the work? The Father. Okay. All right, look at verse 12. Verse 12, pardon me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus was born of the Father, had the same DNA as the Father and everything. But in this earth, he was born the Son of Man. Now, he called himself that. Why? Because if he functioned as God, then he'd be illegal. He had to function as a man anointed by God. Now, how do you know that? Because when he came up out of the baptism, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. That's when he was anointed, because he didn't carry out one miracle like that until he was anointed. Now somebody says, okay, what does that have to be with him and God? If he were God, he wouldn't need no anointing. Where do you go to get any greater anointing than God? I mean, if he were God, he wouldn't need that. He only needed it because he was functioning as a man. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because God sent Jesus to show you how you and Adam are to work. He let you see what the first man was like in the second Adam, and let you know that you are a continuation of the Adam before he sinned. And that he has got you born again. So that means you are born of the same spirit that God is. And that spirit came and replaced the corrupt spirit that was inside of you and me and replaced it, and a new man came in there. Brand new man, never been in before, never been in the earth before. You don't say, you know, your past. You don't have a past. Paul said, I've hurt no man, I've offended no man. This is the same man that was hauling people off to jail and consenting to people's death. He said, no, you need a revelation of who you are. So notice now, you got the same God in you that Jesus had in him, and you got the same anointing being filled with the Holy Ghost. So you've got exactly the same that Jesus has in him. So he's saying, what I did, you can do too. Now, it's not going to be us that does it. It's going to be the Father in us. He's going to do the work because we're in the Sabbath. And in the Sabbath, it means that I'm taking you back to the garden, back to a time where Adam never had to bear the weight of his own provision, that God was going to take care of it. Look what he said in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. And just put it up there on the board real quick. And he said this. He said, Lord, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. This is Moses and them. And they're looking at Pharaoh advancing, coming after them, because the children of Israel have left bondage now. And Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. But God will make them let you go when you don't have the strength to get loose yourself. He will make them let you go. And he said, hey, you hold your peace. The Lord is going to fight for you. Say amen to this. You see, he'll fight for you. He'll work for you. Come on. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. I'm telling you, whatever you need, God will supply it. Why? Because we're in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And whatever belongs to God belongs to us. And whatever belongs to us belongs to God. And that's the way a covenant functions. Well, I'm preaching, Ben. You saying amen. Now, how valuable are you? Look at 1 Peter now, chapter 1 and verse 18. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, he's talking about, look what he says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now notice what he just said. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. He calls silver and gold corruptible. So there was not, when Adam sinned, he put all of us in the pawn shop. Everybody. Now to get us out, you're going to have to get a redeeming ticket. You're going to have to buy us out. And Jesus knew that there wasn't enough money in the universe to get one of you out. He had to give his own blood to get you out. Now, look what he says in Revelation now. Revelation, he talks about King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look what he says over here. He said, and he hath on his vesture, talking about Jesus, and on his thigh a name written. King of who? Kings. And Lord of who? Lords. Now, wait a minute. We know he's the king, but who are the other kings he's talking about? Us. We know he's the Lord, but who's the other Lord? We are. Have you ever seen a king waiting on a paycheck? I better come over here. Have you ever, and I'm making a point, that you weren't built for a paycheck. You weren't built for it. A paycheck means, and you waiting on it, and and having faith in that paycheck, and see that paycheck is your source, or that job is your source, you fall into a category of Jeremiah chapter 17. Over in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, he says this. He said, come on, folks. And thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Let me read it another way. Cursed be the man that trusteth in his paycheck. I better come over here because that group is not excited. Cursed be the man that trusteth in his paycheck and makes his job his source, whose heart departed from the Lord. God never intended for the world system to support his family. Never, never. It's a disgusting thought to the Lord. Never. Never. And you can add to yourself. You can work three jobs. Here I was working two jobs. One at IBM from 8 to 5 and then get off. I told you when I first went on quota and was selling computers, I didn't sell anything, so I got me a second job. Well, that's what the world says. See, you have to check your source of thoughts. Because my source of thoughts came from the world system, came from Babylon. And my source said, get another job. Well, I get another job. Why? Because I'm looking for provision. Because right now the pressure's coming on me. And if you check people's lives, you'll see that most of the pressure is financial. Most of the pressure. Financial is causing high blood pressures. Financial is causing sugar diabetes. Financial is causing poor eating habits. Financial is causing, I'm telling, go across the board, marriage problems, divorces, finance, finance, finance. Now, if I can fix that finance demon, come on, then God's people can be free. That's what Jesus came to preach. That's what he came to show you. Hey, wait a second. Satan has set up a system so that you have to come through his money system before you can have anything, because he's related everything to money. Your teeth getting fixed, you getting a new hair, and so forth and so on. Whatever it is, it's going to cost you some money. Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you how to go around the money system. It's come on now. And have you come and buy with no money. It's money. That's a motivation. And what you can do when you go and press in for that, you're trying to add to yourself. And that's called communism, socialism. And that's what they do. In communism, they try to commune. They say, you grow this, I grow that. I give you a little bit of this, you give me a little bit of that, and we don't need God. But you just do this and so forth. What are they doing? Pretty soon, Babylon is built. Babylon in Genesis chapter 11. They're building this tower up to heaven, trying to get to heaven without God. Socialism, the same thing. And this world is moving towards it. That's why I want to do everything for you. Give me this. Go to a job. Get the benefits. You don't need God. Just get some of these benefits and so forth. Keep God out of it. Why? Satan is slowly trying to move everybody into his system. I don't mind you having the thing, but don't trust in it. I'm just saying this because there's a lot of things in here that people that they don't know are in here. They don't know it in here. I'm talking about adding to yourself, trying to get this, trying to get that, and make it happen. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm going to work all these jobs and save and so forth with all my labor and so forth. I stacked up this, and next thing you know, you worshiping your bank account and won't give nothing away. And cause I'm going to buy me a new house. There ain't nothing about saving up for a new house in the Bible. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you. We're going to work this system. If God adds to it, that's one more thing. But that's the lottery. That's the lure of the lottery. The lottery is luring because it's people seeking rest. They're seeking, trying to get provisions without too much labor. They got to work too hard. They got to spend too much time trying to make this happen. And still, when they make it happen, if you add it to yourself, then sorrow comes with it. That's why he says in Proverbs 10:22, he talks about that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? Rich, and he addeth. I'm shifting you now. You got some trees inside. I'm going to get them trees out. When we were saving up for our house, God said, okay, at this meeting we were having, he said, now I want you to give this away. Praise God. I said, that was part of the money we were saving. You see, he knew that part of that we were saving, we got for ourselves. He wants to do everything for you. He doesn't want you to work. He wants you to take care of one thing. Your assignment. My assignment is to preach, not to try to pay a mortgage. That is not my assignment. He didn't bring me here to pay a mortgage. Folks, I'm going to show you some things. Yep. See, he said, look, look at Hebrews chapter 4 again. Look at verse 3. Put it up there, please. For we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from when? Foundation of the world. You... God's name, one name, is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean, somebody? My provider. My provider. I remember, you remember when I was talking about El Shaddai, the breasty one, and talking about, hey, God is the breasty one. You have a baby, and all of a sudden, when you have that baby, notice the nature of your system generates milk. It, on a normal mother who breastfeeds, that generation of milk is done and it comes with the baby. Come on now, come on, don't be tripped out. I'm here to tell you, listen. Boy, can y'all get this? I feel like I'm preaching too hard here. There is an enormous amount of provision for every one of us that's already set aside. Not going to be set aside. God prepared the milk for the baby came. Come on now. And I'm telling you right now, there is stuff set aside for you that you haven't gotten. Look over here in 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians, Lord have mercy, chapter 5, and look at verse, look, come on Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this Bible, man, this thing, is. I just got me another one. I had to go get me one. Look at verse 23. Now let's look at that in terms of what I just told you. Person is not poor because they don't have any money. They're poor because they don't have any knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of what? Knowledge, not the lack of money. You start thinking like a millionaire, your system has no choice but to produce it. No choice. Look what he says here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Watch this. I pray, God, that your what? Whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you interpret that? Let me tell you how I interpret it with a new perspective, with a new paradigm. Let me show you how I protect it. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. My spirit be preserved. I'm a new creature. Uh-huh. Yep. Am I right about it? Yes. And my spirit is going to be preserved until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My soul is going to be preserved. It's going to be at peace all the time. It's going to be operating in righteousness. Are you with me here? I'm not going to have anxiety. How about my body be preserved? Now, this is one that kind of trips some people out. If your kidney goes bad, get another one. Now, wait a minute. Supernaturally. I'm not talking about wait on somebody to die so you can get a kidney. I said God's got kidneys. Lord have mercy. Coming over to Matthew chapter 15, please. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. See, let me tell you. Let me say, the church has been singing, please don't pass me by. We've been doing that long enough. Jesus is not passing by. Jesus is in you. And he wants you to grow up. And I have volunteered for the job. I said, I have volunteered for the job. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Let me know when you get there. Over in Matthew chapter 15, look what he says starting at verse 29. Put it up there, please. Over in verse 29, he says this. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the sea of Galilee and went up unto a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were what? Lame, come on, blind, come on, dumb, come on, maimed, come on, and many others. And what did he do? He cast them down at Jesus' feet, and what did he do? He healed them. Keep going. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the what? Dumb to speak, come on, maimed to be made whole, come on, the lame to walk, come on, the blind to see, come on, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now what happened to the maimed? What happened to the maimed? They were healed. What does maimed mean? What does maimed? I'm missing a part. Jesus replaced parts. Come on. You get your mind off of this natural, three-dimensional world and put your mind on God. Look what he says in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, please. And look at Genesis 18 and 14. Here's what he says. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, you got to answer that. Because it's not you. It's the Father in you. He's doing the work. Man, if he's doing the work, if he made the first kidney, can he make another one? He doesn't need to make it. It's already made. He's got it in inventory, man. He's got it in will call. Jesus laid hands on people and arms grew out. I'm telling you, he said what he did, you can do too. You don't need to get up there. Blah, blah, blah. You don't need to do all of that. Just lay hand on the sick in his name and they shall recover. But you got to expect a miracle to see a miracle. And that's why a lot of our young people are not coming. Because one, there's a provision shortage in the house. And they got to get some money, man. Man, I'm broke already. I need to go somewhere where I can get some money. And some of them over there in the thing on drugs and selling drugs and so forth. But if they just knew that God's got for them much more than drugs can supply. Still trying to play games, trying to do all kinds of entertainment to get them in. We don't need to do that. Just make the arm grow out and you will have this place flooded. And it ain't growing out because we don't believe what we read. Now I'm telling you, God's about to raise up a church that is going to have the greatest agreement between heaven and earth that's ever been seen since the building of Solomon's temple and the Garden of Eden. We're going to break through this thing, saints. No one representing the King of Kings king should be broke. No one, no one, no one. See, you don't say, I don't have much education. It doesn't make any difference whether you got much education. That your provision is not based on education. Your provision is based on your inheritance. You have become a joint heir with Christ. There, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, please. I don't care whether you don't like me, but I'm going to preach this thing. Some preachers got to preach it. You had them 12 spies to come back, and 10 of them told them lies. They said, we can't take it. The giants in the land, hey, they're stronger than we are, and so those are all lies. You got to say what God said. He said, we are more than conquerors. He said, we are well able to overcome this. Come on. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? God has never checked my bank account when he told me to do something, because I've never had it in there. Why? Because you're trying to leave God out, and God's trying to put himself back in, because he wants to let people see who he is. His whole system has taken God out. He's not in the classroom anymore. He's not in Hollywood. He's not in it. But you got some brave saints coming up now. They're about to put him back in the classroom. Come on, about to put him back in politics. About to put him back in Hollywood. We're about to take dominion. You look at 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch this. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for who? He is not talking about things that are yours reserved in heaven for when you get there. That's called reward. You're going to get there. You get a mansion. That comes with the program. You get golden streets. That comes with the program. Come on. You get walls that are built up with gold and diamonds. And so that comes with the program. He's talking about reserved in heaven for when you want it down here. He's talking about pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Come on. On earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no oppression in heaven. There's none of that. God wants your life to radiate heaven. He wants your light to be so shiny that people will see his good work and lift up their hand and glorify your Father. You got me preaching now. I'm telling you, it's enough unbelief that's been going on in the church. We've been watering down sermons, trying to get people to like us. I don't care whether you like me. I'm here to tell you, we're about to root that tree up out of your life to make you good for God. Let's finish this. So the work's been done. Now, you do work, but it's a different kind of work. And I'm not trying to lift up myself. I just want you to know that when I get to preaching like that, it's because it's coming straight down and just straight from me. Folks, I was a fighter pilot. I was trained to not fear. Not fear anybody or anything. I was trained that way. Let's say this. Two things. Let's solve both of them. Let's go to both of them. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, please. Luke chapter 5. So, here's Peter, verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land.
And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now he's using Simon's ship, his boat. Am I right about it? Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You with me?
Yes.
Now, notice what he did. He saw Simon's boat and he got in it. That wasn't coincidental. That was the will of God. And it was the will of God that you be here this morning.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus is climbing into your boat. Now, here's Simon, and he's sitting down listening to the teaching. And then after the teaching, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, a great increase. And Simon answered that, and he said, Master, we have toiled all the night. Underline, toil. That came out of Genesis chapter 3. After Adam sinned, God said, from now on, you will get everything you get provided for you by your own toil. Taking nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish in a net break. First thing. He said, I've toiled all when? Night. This is in the middle of the day. So you can't drop those nets in a day. I've seen them drop those nets at night, and a day early in the morning, they haul those nets in and they have fish. But you can't drop them in the day. The school's officials see the net and they're gone. So you can take this principle and operate it in any season, any time of day or night, it makes no difference. There is no country it won't operate in. Now, here's the principle I'm talking about. The world is built on buying and selling. That's the way it's built. The kingdom of God is built on sowing and reaping. That's the way it's built. Satan doesn't want you to invade his domain with your principle of sowing and reaping. Why? Because it's a higher principle and it'll override all that's in his kingdom and cause it to come into that kingdom. Are you with me? All right, sowing and reaping. Somebody says, well, a farmer sows, he sows corn, you get some corn back, and so you know that. Okay. But you really don't know it. Because sowing and reaping is a principle that no one can live outside of. No one. Here's what he says about friends. If you want friends, what do? You have to sow yourself friendly. So you have to sow something to get something. He said, if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the what? Whirlwind. All this is in the book. Notice, every time you got to sow something, but it comes back multiplied. So let's just take this personally. Suppose somebody slaps somebody. What are they going to get? And listen, folks. Got it? Now think about it. If that were really on somebody's mind, they had the principle, why would they go and buy a slave? Because they were operating on buying and selling. This other system is stronger. It will eventually possess all of this system. And that's what Joseph was. Remember what he did? Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers to a passing band of Ishmaelites. They took him down to Egypt, and what did they do with him in Egypt? They sold him to a man named Potiphar. So Joseph was on the auction block. Here he was, chained up on the auction block, and the man Potiphar bought him. But when Joseph started working for Potiphar, Joseph started working another principle. And Potiphar began to prosper. To the point that Potiphar eventually put all that he had, that's what the Bible says in Genesis 39, under Joseph's hand. And once he did that, now he transferred it over into the blessing. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that ship that was out there that Peter had, what did he do with it? He gave it to Jesus. It transferred into the kingdom. And once it transfers into the kingdom, the law of multiplication takes place. Oh, you got what I'm saying here? So my wife and I were down there in ministers' meeting, and the guy, the pastor who was minister who was having the meeting, said he was trying to buy an airplane for his ministry because he couldn't keep up. The commercial schedules couldn't keep up anymore. He said, how many people would like to give into it? Well, our ministry needed an airplane. So I turned to my wife and said, what are you saying, baby? I said, let's just pray and see what God says. Boom, we came up. So God says, sow $100,000. So we took $100,000 and sowed it. Now remember, you say, I don't have no $100,000. It's not the amount, it's the obedience. Don't ever forget that. One woman had only two mites. So what happened? We sowed it. Then about 2 weeks later, I got a call. Hey, Bill, this is so-and-so. Listen, I think that offering was taken up the wrong way. And I want to take all that seed that was sown to me for that airplane, and I want to sow it to so-and-so on the mission field. Here's what I said. Well, why are you calling me? That's not mine. See, if it's still mine, I get no harvest. I better come over here. If it's still mine, I get no harvest. You cannot put it in the bucket and watch the bucket all the way down the aisle. You have never let it go. And remember when Adam sinned, God couldn't come in and say, King's X on that man. Let me get another man and form him, because the ground didn't belong to him anymore. He can't touch what's not his. I'm not, my God can't. That's why people get a new car sometimes. Yeah, I got this new car, praise the Lord. Well, this is the Lord's car. I said, oh, this is the Lord's car. I said, well, you driving it? Yeah, I'm driving it, but it's the Lord. I said, okay, now, what you do, give it to the Lord? Well, no, I just know the Lord watching over it, you know, and so forth and so on. You know, a whole lot of flaky stuff, and I'm trying to figure out, that's your car. Get that car, put the blood of Jesus over it, and drive that thing down the street. My point to you is wait a minute. You see, you put the money in the bucket, then you try to tell the pastor what to do with it. You have never let it go. You will never get a harvest off of it. And the harvest and seed time is the way God has to meet your needs. He might bring it back in money. He might bring it back in inventions. He might bring it back in new customers. He might bring it back in. But one way he's going to bring it back in, without toil. He's going to bring it back in. You're just going to go and gather it up, because it's a new level of work that you're going to be doing. You're not working for earning a living anymore. You're going to work now to get your mind off of that provision so you can do your assignment. If you're supposed to work in the education area, get in that education area. If you're supposed, come on, it doesn't make a difference, because God's got your back. It's not going to be your education level that's going to dictate your income. It's going to be your sowing level that's going to dictate. I'll put the scripture up there again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Now listen. This will work for kids. Now you said, do you work hard? I work hard. You can ask my staff. I'm a hard worker. But I'm not working to earn more money. I'm working to fulfill my assignment to God to get this ministry moving. That's why I'm working. If you put your mind on a paycheck, try to create at the same time. Those inventions will slow down. Those ideas will slow down to little or nothing. You've got to get your mind off provision, folks. The whole world has been provision-minded. Satan was trying to see to that. Why? So they can't go anywhere. Please, don't reject what I'm saying. Study it out first. The Bibles were hid in monasteries from you. Because if you ever got off this buying and selling system and got over here on this other system, you can get your needs met on the top of Mount Vesuvius with nobody there. Why? Because Jesus said, hey, feed them. They were at the top of the mountain. He said, they said, I've got to go work and get some money to feed all these people. He said, no, you don't. There's a lad here with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Give me that and let's make some food. And that food began to multiply because it was bread from heaven. God will give you from heaven what you need, independent of the system that you're living in, independent of the economic time that you were enduring. Now, what did I tell you to go? No. Come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come on. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Check it out. For my yoke is easy, keep going, and my burden is light. My friends, I'm just letting you know that system is not what I'm under. I'm under sowing and reaping, and I'm glad about it. Now give God praise. Amen.